Book of Leviticus, chapter 16, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the altar, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen meter shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on.
We learned this many times, but here God is giving Aaron a warning. He's saying to Moses, tell your brother Aaron, and he's saying his two sons died, and the reason they died because they took the strange fire and went to the holy place. That's why they died. Now he's saying Aaron is the high priest. Aaron can go to the most holy place. He can go to the holy place, and he has freedom to go both places. But here the word of God is saying to Aaron, you cannot just walk in. In the most holy place, you go once a year. You cannot just go every day to the most holy place and look around and walk around. He said there is a reason, only reason you have to go. And then he gives all the rituals. First of all, you have to wash yourselves. You have to put all the right garments. And when you go into the most holy place once a year, you taking the bull for the sin offering, for you and your family first, then you doing for the congregation. And this was the rule is given. And so he says, if you do not obey the law, you can be dead. That means you cannot just walk around without a reason. You don't go to church to look at your girlfriend or boyfriend, or just mother and father told you to go to church, so you should just go early, take a round and shake pastor's hand and go home. And they say, did you go to church? Yes, you can ask pastor. I shook his hand. I was there. That is not the purpose you go into church. Go to church with a purpose. That's the same way he's saying, if you go to the most holy place, you have to have reason to go. And then he gives the rules and regulation. You cannot just walk around. You cannot just say, okay, I am the high priest, I can do whatever I want to do. So the word of God says, remember, your both sons died because they did the wrong thing. So you do the right thing, take a bath first, put on the clothes, all the right clothes, and then you go to the most holy place, sanctify that place, and put the incense, and the incense smoke comes like a white cloud, and then I will appear, and then I will talk to you or bless you. That's the way it is. And so he gave the rules and regulation. Let's read the verse 5.
And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house.
Now here again he's saying, if you're doing for the congregation, take the two rams or two goats, and you come and offer them as a sin offering or as a burnt offering. And then you do it for you and your family. Verse 7.
And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
Now here he says, take two goats, and then put a lot. One is for the Lord, and one is for a scapegoat. And the lot comes to the Lord, then you sacrifice that animal as a sacrifice for the people. and then one goat. You lay your hands, both hands, and put the sins of the all the congregation, all the children of Israel, and send that goat in the wilderness. Verse 11.
And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
Okay, again he's saying, we already read it, but he's again saying, you bring the bullock, means the bull. And that bull is for yourself and for your family, and that is for the sin offering. So again he's saying, if you coming for the giving sacrifices, think about you and your family. That means if you're not sanctified, your family is not sanctified, then you have no good example for your congregation or the children of Israel. There are so many laws, even the today, if the pastor's children doing some mischiefs, then they tell the pastor, you are fired because you cannot take care of your house, so you cannot take care of the church. The same way, we see God is concerned about you and your family. Some people said, I don't care about my family, they don't listen, but I do go to church. You remember, the word of God said Noah and his family was saved. The jailer, when he received Jesus Christ, he and his whole household got saved. Cornelius, when he got saved, his whole family got saved. So that's what the word of God is saying. The ministry starts from your home. He says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. The ministry starts from home. If you are not taking care of your family, you are not fit for the service of God. And that's why he says, do it for yourself and your family. Okay, verse 12.
And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
Now here again he's saying, if you come into the most holy place, you take the right fire. Don't take it like your son did. Take the fire from the altar and come into the most holy place and then put that incense and make a smoke. And so the whole mercy seat should be filled with a cloud, white cloud. Then God will appear. But if you don't do that, you will die. Okay, verse 14.
And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times.
Now here we see, he's going in the most holy place first, make the smoke to the Lord, take the blood of this bull or goat, and then he sprinkle with his finger seven times with the mercy seat and near the veil. First of all, east side, and the in front of mercy seat, seven times he has to, you know, sprinkle that blood. Okay, verse 15.
Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat.
Again, he goes first, do the bull, come back, take the blood of goats, same way, sprinkling seven times, and then he comes back. So the point I'm making, first God told him, go and sanctify the most holy place first and sprinkle the blood for seven times for you, for your family, and whole congregation. Verse 16.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness.
He did it for the most holy place. Now he is saying, do it for the holy place. That's the most holy place and holy place together is called tabernacle. So now he is saying, do it for the holy place and then for you and for your congregation, because this you doing because of sinfulness of the Israeli people. Verse 17.
And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel.
Now again he is giving another rule. These rules were not given before. So now he is saying, high priest can go to the most holy place. The priest, they are allowed to go to the holy place. But now he's saying, when you're doing this once a year, this time when you go to the most holy place, sanctify that place, come to the holy place, sanctify that place. But at that time, we do not want any other priest walking around in that place. That place should be empty. Only Aaron is going and doing this sacrifice. This is for once a year. So he said, you should be doing for the most holy place, and at that time, we do not want any person walking around. Verse 18.
And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel.
He did the most holy place. Then he did the holy place. Now he is going to the altar. That is outside the tabernacle. Then he goes to the outside the tabernacle where the altar is. Then he takes the blood and put it on the four corners of the altar horns and sanctified everything. And that's the way he cleansed most holy place, and the altar. Now is everything ready for the other people to sacrifice. So this was the routine given to Aaron by Moses and said, this is the way you do. And if you do anything wrong, they will be dead. Okay, verse 20.
And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goats. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness.
Now the remaining goat is a scapegoat. Now Aaron has to come, put his both hand, and maybe he's asking God, Lord, I'm putting all my Israeli people's sin on this goat. And then he laid hand, and then he tells the one person, he says, fit person. That means that person has to be Levites, he has to be holy, he has to be right kind of person who is not doing anything wrong. And he will give that goat to him, and then he has to take the goat and go to the wilderness and set him free that he should not be coming back. So that's the way he goes. And then when he goes and takes the goat there and let it go, and when he comes back, he cannot come back inside the camp. He has to take a shower, take a bath, put on the clothes, and then come in, because he was taking the goat, maybe some of the sin, maybe on his clothes or in his body. He doesn't want to come in the camp. He has to wash everything and then come in. So can you imagine, they were thinking, if anybody takes the goat, that person has to be right person. And when he's sitting in the wilderness, that person, when he's coming back, he should not be coming inside the camp or inside near the tabernacle, taking a bath and things like that. They did not want any part of sin. Once a sin is given to this goat, goat will carry the sin. Now, last time, if you remember, we learned there was another ritual when the people had the issue of blood and things like that. So they had to have one sin offering and one the burnt offering. And then they had to go to the water where the clean water, running water, and take the clay pot and cut one bird and put that bird's blood and the live bird, and they go and send the live bird in the open field, and the bird will fly away with the blood on his body. Now here is the goat, same thing. Now the goat is not flying, but the goat is in the wilderness. He is free, nobody can do any harm to him, and the bird is gone. And I told you last time, this scapegoat, even the Jesus Christ is our sacrificial lamb. He is our Passover lamb. He did the sacrifice for us. But the same time, the scapegoat, that means 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it says, God laid our sin on Christ and he became sin. So now one goat is given to the wilderness, means he's going, he's alive. What does it mean? Jesus Christ died, he rose again, and he took his blood and went to the most holy place in heaven. And so Jesus Christ is alive. That's the goat, one goat is alive. Now Jesus is alive, and he is there to intercede for your sins, and he is a mediator for us. So any person commits sin, what they have to do? Call upon Jesus, ask the forgiveness for our sins, and Jesus Christ is a mediator, he is alive. And the other bird we saw, bird flew away. Jesus Christ came, and he, after the resurrection, he showed the proof of resurrection to many people, and then 40th day he went in front of everybody, and he just went away, just like flew away into heaven. So these are the pointing toward Jesus. Jesus Christ is not dead, he is alive. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus said, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. So the Jesus Christ is still there, and his blood still talking. Abel's blood asking revenge. The blood of Jesus Christ talks better than his blood, means his blood says, forgive them. And those people who plead the blood of Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven. Okay, let's go to the Leviticus chapter 16, verse 22.
And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there.
Again he is saying to the high priest, when you're doing the sacrifice and everything you did, now keep all those clothes in the holy place and take a shower, and then come out and then do other service. Verse 24.
And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, to make an atonement for himself and for the people.
This priest has so many things to do, going in the most holy place, doing the sacrifice, coming to the holy place, changing his garment, go back to the altar, do the sacrifice, and then wash himself, put on another cloth, and come out. This is a ritual, whole day long he has to do his sacrifice, and he has to keep on keeping himself clean. Verse 25.
And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp.
Now we already learned that man who takes the scapegoat, putting in the wilderness, comes back, and then he has to take a bath and change his clothes, and then he can come to the camp. He cannot bring sin with him again. Verse 27.
And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung.
Now here it is saying that a bull was for sin offering and a goat for the sin offering. But there was a law. When you're doing the sin offering, you take the blood and sacrifice, but the bulls or goats' legs and the skin and other part, you have to take it outside the camp and burn it. And if there is another sin offering, they have to take this flesh and other stuff and burn it outside. verse 28.
And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp.
Again, he's saying, if any person takes those skin and bones and some other things going out, burning, he said that person also, when he comes doing those works, wash himself, because they're thinking this all animal, a burn or sacrifice, their blood or their stain or their sin, you should not be bringing in the camp. And so it is a very strict order. When the people are serving the Lord, they have to keep themselves holy, keep themselves clean. Otherwise, you will not be a good witness. Some people say, oh, we are all the same. There is no difference within a believers and the pastor. We are all same. Yes, we are all same. But when God has called you to do the ministry, you have to have a good example. You cannot be smoking and drinking and gambling and doing everything what the other people do, and Sunday you come and put a gown or the robe and be holy. It doesn't work that way. We have to give a good example to the congregation. The workers have the high standard. Believers can be born again and baptized. Pastor cannot say you are not baptized, so get out of the church. They are all there, and some churches, they don't give you communion until you are baptized. That this communion is for the believers. If you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you, and if you believe that you are washed with his blood, then you are a child of God, and then you can have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. You don't need a water baptism to take the communion. But some churches, they have different rules. You have to be baptized, or some churches will say if you are not a member of the church, you cannot take communion. They were born again, they were baptized, and they were breaking the bread. Are all believing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? But it comes to the serving the Lord, a minister, that person has to be born again. That person has to be baptized. That person has to fill with the Holy Spirit. That person has to have a good reputation in the neighborhood. And he should be living clean and holy life. And he should be knowing the Word of God. That's the way it is. If you want to read, you can go and read in the book of Acts chapter 6. You will know that 7 people were taken just to do the food service. What is their qualification? They have to be well known in community. They should know the Word of God very well, and they should be full of the Holy Spirit. Just to doing the kitchen service. So there is a difference between the believer and the worker. So we have to have a high standard for the pastor. Okay, verse 29.
And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever.
This is the rules and regulation gave. This is for the atonement once a year, and at that time, once a year, Aaron has to do this ritual, taking the sin of the people and going and doing the sacrifice. And that time, he said that should be the Sabbath day. That day you don't do anything, and you just, I don't know if there's fasting or something, but they said you have to afflict yourself. That means you completely dedicate your life, and that day you keep it holy, keep it clean. And Aaron has to do these rituals, as I said earlier. He has to go to the holy place, most holy place first, and then he has to put the blood up the lamb or blood up the bull 7 times, sprinkle on the mercy seat, and then he has to do the same thing to the holy place. Then he had to come and do the altar and put the blood there. So this is the ritual was given, and that was a once in a year. Those people, Israeli people, are still doing it every year. But what is missing? There is no blood. So you ask them, you keeping this ritual, but there is no blood. and you doing it. But the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the mankind, and when Jesus Christ died, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. It is says in Matthew chapter 27 verse 51, from that day until today, there is no more sacrifices. Why? Because now Jesus Christ is the high priest. Priesthood is already gone. They can find the priest, they can find the red heifer, they can build the temple and everything, but priesthood is completely gone. It's in book of Hebrews, it says, priests were coming from the Levites, but the new priest comes, Jesus Christ, he is not from Levites. He is coming from the tribe of Judah. So that this priest is a king and the priest. In the olden days, priests cannot do the king's job. But the Jesus Christ does three things. He came first as a prophet. Then he died on the cross of Calvary. He took his blood on the most holy place in heaven. Now he is our high priest. And when he comes back to rule over the Israeli people as a king of kings and lord of lords, so he will be king. So this was a ritual, and they had to observe every year. And he said, this is forever. Let's read a little bit, 32, 33, and 34.
And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation.
This is just repeating what he said earlier. He's saying again, you have to sanctify the most holy place, you have to sanctify the holy place, and you have to sanctify the altar. And this is what the priest has to do. Verse 34.
And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year.
Can you imagine? He says, everlasting commandment. Everlasting means there is no end. That's why some people are confused. But the day Jesus Christ died, and the day curtain was torn from top to bottom, that is finished. Now there is no more sacrifice needed. There is no more goat. There is no scapegoat. There is no bird is flying. There is no bloodshed at all. Here the ritual was given, and he says forever, but it's already stopped. Jesus Christ already shed his blood, and there is no bloodshed needed. Okay, the chapter 16 is finished. We are going to chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man, he hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people.
Okay, now here is another rule he is giving. When you bring in your sacrifice, you bring it to the tabernacle, then Aaron will take it and sacrifice for you. But some people start thinking, hey, you know, Aaron is busy, and we want to do some sacrifice like they have a peace offering. So peace offering is like you do it willingly. Peace offering, they will not force you to have to bring this. Peace offering is also called fellowship offering. So the people say, hey, we go to the mountain, we will cut the lamb, and we will have the fellowship, eat the meat and rejoice. God says, no, you cannot do that. If you want to do that kind of fellowship offering, first bring the lamb to the tabernacle. Let the Aaron sacrifice that lamb and take the blood and do the ritual first. And then you can go and eat the meat. So if you don't do that, you will be cut off or you will be punished. Verse 5.
To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations.
He says, if you're doing outdoor, you are not doing to the Lord, you are giving to the devil, and so you should not be offering the sacrifice outside. You bring it to the tabernacle, let the priest do all kinds of ritual, what is given to the in the Word of God, and do it. Otherwise, they will be cut off. Verse 8.
And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people.
Again he's saying, this is not for the children of Israel alone. If anybody living in your family or living with you, and he's a stranger, and the man says, hey, that's a Jewish law for you, but it's not for me. I can go to the mountain. I can do the sacrifice to the idol or something like that. But there was a rule. Abraham, when God told him to circumcise, he circumcised himself. And all the people were working with him, they were all circumcised. That means he's a stranger or no stranger. If he's working with you, if he's having contact with you, and if he's living with you, the rules is the same. Sometimes somebody comes to visit you, and that's a Sunday. So he say, okay, Sunday I'm going to go to church, but we are not coming. And so you go to church, we are not coming. If I'm there, I tell all my guests, we are going to church, you are going with us. Otherwise, don't come on Sunday. In our house, we have a prayer meeting. If the guest comes, they have to stay in the prayer meeting in the evening. When we go to church, they have to go to church with us. Otherwise, you cannot come to my house as a guest. The rule for a guest and the family is the same. That's why God is saying, is a stranger or the children of Israel, rules are the same. Okay, verse 10.
And whatsoever a man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people.
Now, again he is saying, Israeli person or the stranger, they're doing the sacrifice and start eating the blood, that person will be cut off. Why? Because the Word of God says there is a life in the blood, and God has given that blood for sacrifice. That means God is sacrificing the animal's life for the mankind. So he said, if somebody does that, they will be cut off. Verse 11.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
This rule was given before the Ten Commandments were given. If you read the Genesis chapter 9 verse 4, God told Noah, you cannot eat the blood because there is a life in the blood. Please read.
But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
There is a life in the blood. That's why somebody said, why Jesus Christ has to shed his blood? He can shed his tears or sweat or this and that. Why we need a blood? This is the answer. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. So there is a life in the blood. Jesus Christ gave his life for mankind. So that's why the blood is important. Now somebody said, oh, Jesus Christ died and that time he shed his blood and now there is no blood. I already told you, Jesus Christ took his own blood. He went to the most holy place and kept the blood there in heaven. Now here, people take your blood and put it in the blood bank. And I don't know how many years and that blood is good. If regular person's blood can be put in the blood bank for a long time, how much the precious blood of Jesus Christ staying in heavenly blood bank, it will be for eternity. There is no germs there. There is nothing can contaminate blood. So that blood will be there for eternity. So there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of our sins. This is the only teaching or only remedy is in the Christian church. All other denominations, they don't know what they're doing for their forgiveness. They can bring all kinds of fruits and vegetables and cut the animals and this and that. But the Word of God says those are the rituals, self-righteousness. Those things are not going to save our souls. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing can wash away your sins. There is no other things can cleanse you from your own unrighteousness. Okay, go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 12.
Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust.
Now here again he's saying, if you are hunting the animal or killing the animal, and then if you shed the blood, don't eat the blood, pour the blood and make a ditch or hole and then cover it. But don't keep the blood open. Other animal or somebody will eat it. And so the blood was not allowed to eat it. Verse 14.
For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off.
Again he says, there is a life in the blood, so no one should eat that blood. If that person eats the blood, that person will be cut off. Verse 15.
And every soul which eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn of beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity.
If you do that, then you will be bearing the iniquity. It means you will be guilty. And if you are guilty, and if you don't do the sacrifice for your guilt, you will be condemned or you will be dead. The chapter finishes. Okay. We are going to go to chapter 18. And this chapter will finish very soon because we are not going to read verse by verse. We are going to read only first 6 verses and we'll go from there.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances, to walk therein, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness, I am the Lord.
Now here in this chapter, God is saying, I'm bringing you this new country, and all these people were living in this place. They were heathen. They were idol worshippers. And when you're worshipping idols, there is no rules and regulation. They can make their own rules and regulation. Idol has no life. They cannot talk to you. They cannot give advice to you. They cannot do anything. But the idol worship, they have their own priests. The God is saying, these gods are horrible gods. They want people to do all kinds of sinful activities. And so he said, when you go into that country, those people, they don't know who their father is, who their mother is, who their brother is, who their sister is, and they will have sex with anybody. So he said, I am giving a new rule. You should not be uncovering. Verse 7.
The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Now here it's saying, already said in the verse 6, I'm giving this order because you do not do what the unsaved people are doing it. They don't care their mother, father, brothers, sisters. And in this chapter, if you start reading from verse 7 to 23, you have prohibited to not to have relationship with your relatives. It can be father, father's brother, your uncle, your aunt, your sister, your granddaughter, your neighbor, neighbor's wife, or all kinds of lists are given. You can read it to yourself. So in short, he says not a single person should be marrying or having sex with the relatives. Close relatives or far relatives, nobody should be doing this. And today also, some other religious people, they are doing it. God gives some rule with some kind of reason. And so the people do not obey the commandment and do whatever they want to do. And they want people to bless them. There was one couple came to our church on Rising Sun, and they were very active. They were very nice and I liked them. And one day the lady came and said, Pastor Peter, can you perform the marriage for us? So I said, I want to know more about how you met your friend that you're going to marry. So the lady said, oh, it's a very big story. My brother was gone from our house and we lost him and we didn't know where he was. And I met him in another country and we fall in love. And so we came to our parents and we told them, we didn't know that we are brothers and sisters, but now we are living like a husband and wife. You should give us permission to get married. So they kicked them out from the house. So they went to the government and asked the government, and at least in America, if you have a same last name or you are very blood relative, they will not allow you to marry. But if you go to another country, you can marry with your own sister or anybody and they will not say anything. And so they came to me and say, could you perform the marriage? I said, are you kidding? I didn't know these things and you told me these things. Let me tell you, God's curse is already upon you. You people are staying together this many years and you don't have a child. What's the point? Because God has cursed you people. Only the curse will go away that you ask God forgiveness and live as a brothers and sister. Let your brother get married to somebody and let you go and marry somebody and God will bless. They didn't like my advice and they stopped coming to church. But then I found out that man got some kind of disease. They were young. I think they might be both dead now. I never kept touch with them. So the point I'm making, people are living in sin in 21st century today. So the God wants to warn the people, any or closest relatives, even your wife's sister, you should not be having any relationship. So these are the rules are given in this chapter. And I was thinking, all the closest relatives, you should not marry or you don't have sex with them. But at the same time, he says, not even your neighbor's wife. And I thought, thinking, neighbor is not your relative. Why this rules is given? Because the word of God says, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means the neighbor is your brother. And so they are saying, if your neighbor is good with you, don't take advantage and try to destroy his wife or his children. Because the neighbor in the Bible is more than a brother. And so these are the rules are given. So I'm not reading all those rules. You can read those things. But we can finish this chapter with reading from verse 24.
Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you.
Here it is saying, and we read the verses 1 to 6, the same thing he said, I'm bringing in this country, these people did not obey my law, they were heathen, they were worshipped idol gods, and they had no moral law, they were doing all kinds of things. That's why I am destroying these people and giving this land to you. Now, when you come into this land, don't do the exactly things they were doing. Verse 25.
And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants.
Because of these people committed sin, I vomited them from this land. Means kill them, destroy them, and I am giving this land to you, So you do not do the same mistake. Verse 26.
You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you.
Now this rules for you, and anybody in your house or neighbor or what you call the worker or hired servant or anybody, that's the rule for everybody. The person who is working for you, he cannot say, yeah, you know what, I'm not a Jewish person, I'm not a Christian, but now I'm going to marry my wife's sister or somebody, or my brother's wife or something like that. He said, no, rule is the same. If that person does that, tell him to get out of my country, get out of my house, because this is not the God's law. God wanted people to be pure and holy and keeping the word of God and living a clean and holy life. We have rules and regulations. And some people say, oh, but we are not under the law, so we can do anything. No, there is a law. I'll tell you later on. Okay, let's read verse 27.
For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled.
He says, before you those people did all these things, that's why the whole land is defiled. Verse 28.
That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you.
Now he said, if you do the same thing can happen to you, so don't do it the things the people before you did it. Verse 29.
For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people.
So if you do all these things, you will be cut off from among the people. There are some other rules are given. I'm going to let you read it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. Important things, Einstein. Okay.
And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, for I am the Lord.
Now here, he gave all the rules and regulations to not to have sex with your relatives. But in that same chapter, he's saying, you should not be going after Moloch, is their idol God, and don't do idol worship. Verse 22.
Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind, it is abomination.
Here he's saying, you don't do sex with your all relatives, or close relatives, or far relatives, but I'm telling you, you cannot sleep with man, or something like that. That is prohibited. Now, many people are doing this today, and they don't know the law. And some people say, oh, that is the old law, but it's in the New Testament also. But we don't have time, and we are not going after that. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23.
Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Now here, from this, he said all those heathens, they were sleeping with the animal, and they were thinking there is no sin. There is another law, but we don't have to read, we already studied. If the ladies have issue of blood, don't sleep with that lady, otherwise you will be unclean. And that's the way the chapter is. And so we finish the chapter, and we don't have to go in detail, but these are the laws were given to the Old Testament people. Now somebody says, oh, we are not under the law. What is the law for Christians? You can marry any nationality, white, black, brown, Chinese, Japanese, anybody. But the rule is the one. That person has to be brother or sister in Christ. If they are not born again, if they are not Christian, I don't care how wealthy they are, I don't care how good they are, you are not supposed to marry them. That's the law in the New Testament. You can marry only brother or sister. You remember St. Paul said, don't you have authority for me that I can marry one of my sisters in the Lord? Not your own sister, sister in the Lord. That means if the person is born again, that brother and sister, doesn't matter what nationality, what color, what country they are coming from, they have to be born again Christians. That's the only law in the New Testament. Our God is a good God, and He gave us all the good rules. If you are born again child of God, you will be hungry and thirsty to read the word, go to church, give a tithe, and do everything. If you don't love God, you will not give anything to God. God wants your heart. Once you give your heart to the Lord, then everything is belong to God. Shall we rise?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Bless your people who are already here. You know their needs. Financial need, spiritual need, physical need, whatever the needs are. You are the one, all-sufficient God. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. Bless your people and supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen
and amen. Please be seated.